Netcasting from Chicago, Los Angeles, and Sydney. You're listening to this week's FX Podcast from FXGuide.com.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. I'm John Montgomery. Our subject this week is going to be the SIGGRAPH 2007 conference. It's going to be basically a guide to everything you need to know if you're attending SIGGRAPH. But before we get to that, I just want to make a mention that our new term is starting this week over at fxphd.com, and we've got some great courses this term. First of all, we've got a Nuke, Introduction to Nuke course, along with a VPN version of that software. So as long as you're a member, you can actually download and install and run a full working copy of Nuke. We also have PF Track 4 and Monet, Moki, Mofex, the products from Imagineer Systems. And those are all also available on the VPN. But we're also excited to announce today that due to popular demand, we've added a 200-level Flame course. And this Flame course is going to be quite interesting. It's going to be taught by Mike Seymour, and it's going to be covering production of The Last Caress. That's the zombie film that we just shot last term at FXPHD and is now in finish. So we'll be using that project to show how to do things in Flame, and everything from just starting out with your project, creating it, getting everything set up, checking it's an offline, dealing with time code, as well as doing effects. So I think it's going to be a great course. So for those of you who are interested in Flame and learning anything about it, be sure to check that out over at fxphd.com. At FX Guide, we're really excited about SIGGRAPH this year because for the first time, FX Guide TV will be providing daily coverage from the event. And we're going to have daily podcasts or daily netcasts, effectively, on August 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th from San Diego with news and interviews from the show. So we think you'll really love that, and we're very excited about being able to bring that to you. We've started ramping up on production, and we figure that SIGGRAPH is just a great opportunity to bring the latest news and information to you guys. So we'll be able to have more details of that in the coming weeks about how you can watch that. But again, we're really excited, so keep an eye out. For the first time, we'll be doing really intense SIGGRAPH coverage here at FX Guide. Our podcast this week is with Joe Marks, who's the conference chair of SIGGRAPH. And I just like to think of this podcast as just the definitive guide to attending SIGGRAPH 2007. It works through what the conference is about, the things that you can see, how you pick the things that you'd like to see, and even how you can really go there to get a job or to meet people to enable you to get a job. So I think you'll really enjoy that. So without further ado, let's go ahead and join that conversation. Again, it's Mike Seymour speaking with conference chair Joe Marks.
Thanks for that, John. And Joe, thank you for joining us on the line.
Oh, you're welcome.
So before we just start, what is your background and what's your role in SIGGRAPH?
So I'm the conference chair for the whole conference. So I got to pick the program committee and take the decisions regarding major strategic initiatives and so on. And it's sort of like being the referee of the World Cup. It's the top volunteer position and one that I've been apprenticing for quite a while.
Now, it is a volunteer position, and you actually have a fairly serious day job.
Yes, I do. I'm the VP of Technology at Walt Disney Animation Studios. But my employer and many employers in this industry are happy to have people volunteer because it's a great way. SIGGRAPH feeds the industry in many ways, and it's a good way of keeping informed and networking.
Yes, in fact, SIGGRAPH has been an icon of really both, well, I guess I'd say education and research over many years now, hasn't it?
Yes, I think if you go into any office or cubicle of people who work in computer graphics, you'll see the SIGGRAPH proceedings on the bookshelf or you'll see copies of papers lying around. It's the ultimate reference for people who work in this area. It's unlike other fields where there tend to be multiple venues that are high quality in other areas of computer science. Computer graphics is unusual in that this one forum has remained the central focal point and has grown over time. So if you want to know what's going on in computer graphics research and development, that's really the only place to be.
Yes, and the SIGGRAPH papers has probably, you know, I certainly have many years of them on my bookshelf, and I think that's the case with most people, that it's really the Bible for getting a view as to what a snapshot is of the industry at any year. And they're quite interesting to go back to past years and sort of see what was the state of the art. And, of course, those conference proceedings are now available both online, aren't they, and or electronically and in written form.
That's right. You can get them in written form. Many people like to have those. There's something very comforting about the physical proceedings, but the ACM Digital Library now has all of the SIGGRAPH proceedings and going right back to the beginning. So that's a great resource for people who use that. Part of the reason that the papers program is so good, it's probably the best peer review process, certainly in computer science, and would rank up there with the best in science. So when a paper is presented at SIGGRAPH, you can be sure that it represents the best research and the best vetting procedure by the top people in the field. So it really has a quality or seal of approval. You won't go to a boring paper session at SIGGRAPH or one that's anything other than top quality.
Yeah, I'd like to pick up on that, actually, because it would be a point to easily sort of gloss over, but the quality of the people on your papers panel is nothing short of stunning. I mean, literally, year in, year out, it's the people that invented the art that is doing the peer review.
Yes, it's something we're, as a community, we're very proud of. People put in an enormous effort. As a member of the papers committee, you will be responsible for 20 papers. You have to write reviews yourself and then solicit so-called tertiary reviews from other experts who are outside. It's an enormous amount of effort, but where it really shows up is in the quality of the program and in the quality of the papers. So it's not only a selection process, but it's also a review and editing process. So we really do editing and revision process that mostly in other fields are done by journals. But SIGGRAPH, we spend a lot of money, volunteers put in a lot of time, and it's very much an honor to be chosen for that papers committee. It's not something you submit your name for. You get asked.
And the other thing about it is that this process being so thorough means that we're almost guaranteed that the papers do represent significant steps forward in the particular field, as opposed to, let's face it, at some other conferences where the papers are really an equipment manufacturer's chance to sort of give a written presentation on their latest toy. It's probably the shining example of this in the SIGGRAPH, and consequently, I think it's the thing that SIGGRAPH is most known for. But I would hesitate to say that that's probably the gross understatement of the century, to say that SIGGRAPH is just the papers. We'll discuss the papers, but in fact, there's a heck of a lot going on at the conference, isn't there?
There are many other things. The papers undoubtedly is the crown jewel, and there are people who only go to the paper sessions, but there are many other things. In fact, one of the fun things about being conference chair is it's forced me a little out of my comfort zone to understand and support the other programs. So your readers and listeners will probably also be interested in the Computer Animation Festival, which is a leading festival of various forms of animation. There are also panels and special sessions. Special sessions involve usually presentations from industry, typically the movie industry and work on recent movies. So, for example, Transformers, Happy Feet, Shrek, Spider-Man 3 will all be covered at this year's SIGGRAPH. We also have something called Sketches, which is a breaking news or shorter version of papers, but more of an industry slant. So a typical session at Sketches, in fact, there are two sessions this year from Pixar on technology that was used in Ratatouille. And there are also co-located events, which is another way that people can delve a little bit more deeply into particular areas, and we've tried to expand that this year with Symposium on Computer Animation, the Non-Photorealistic Animation and Rendering Workshop, the Sandbox Symposium for those doing games, and then two old standbys, graphics hardware and emerging displays technology.
And that's not even the end of it. There's a bunch more. So let's see if we can work our way through this as if I was attending the event for the first time and what I would, how I'd kind of plan my time. Because in addition to everything else you've said, there's job fair, there's obviously an exhibitor section, there's some fun things that you guys are doing, torturing animators. So
that's right.
So let's start by backing up and saying where the conference is this year and the dates, so people just understand the layout of it.
Sure. Well, it's in San Diego, which is possibly the top venue in North America for conference. A beautiful city. The conference center is right on the waterfront, and San Diego is a very livable and walkable city. So it's August 5th through 9th for the main conference, with some co-located events on the 3rd and 4th, the weekend before. So that's where and when it is. And the ideal week, if you were to plan this out, well, first of all, the first thing to realize is you're not going to see everything. And once that settles in your mind, you can relax a little bit, try to be more selective. You've really got to come back year after year to see to catch up on everything. But you can have a wonderful time by being selective. I would start with flying in on maybe the 2nd and take in one of the co-located events on the 3rd or the 4th, depending on your interest.
So let's discuss those. What are those co-located events, and what sort of format do they take?
They're literally a small conference, so typically 1 to 200 people. So it's a different experience. SIGGRAPH, the large conference, will have maybe 25,000 people. It's the number that we would expect, maybe a little north of that. And that can be exhilarating and fun, and you see things on the grand scale. But sometimes it's nice also to have a small event with people of like mind for whatever your interest is. So these co-located events are targeting that small, more intimate experience. So your listeners and readers, probably the Symposium on Computer Animation, which is rapidly becoming a very attractive small forum for work on animation, the Non-Photorealistic Animation and Rendering Workshop, and the Sandbox Symposium, which is
the video game one?
Video game one.
Right.
I think they would be the three that would be of most interest. And picking one of those, you'd get an opportunity to see some papers, some invited presentations, and an opportunity to network with a small group to get your week off to a good start on the Saturday and the Sunday.
Now, they're not all necessarily at the same San Diego Convention Center, are they, on that first weekend?
They're at the convention center or at the conference hotels. We left it up to the individual organizing committees for these small events, whatever they felt more comfortable with organizing. But it's essentially within walking distance of the main convention center.
Okay, so let's say I go along and I look at graphics hardware or something else of interest. Mm-hmm. I'm doing that on the weekend, which is a good way to get
Saturday
going.
Saturday and Sunday.
Yep,
Then Sunday evening, the conference really gets off to kind of its informal start with the papers fast forward session, which has become
very
popular.
This is one that interests me a lot. Yeah, I think this is a brilliant idea.
It's really a lot of fun. Everybody, all the papers authors, there's about 100 accepted papers, and they get up to give about 20 seconds or so describing their paper in a very succinct form. It's usually a lot of fun because it's meant to entertain as well as to inform, and there's very much a celebration or celebratory atmosphere around it. But in addition to being entertained, you also get an opportunity to see what might be of interest to you. And if you take notes, those notes and the papers that most interest you could be the skeleton of your schedule for the rest of the rest of the conference in terms of the papers, because chances are, no matter what field, sub area of computer graphics you're in, there'll be some papers that you want to see. So, starting out with the papers fast forward on Sunday, you can begin to fill in your the rest of the week in terms of things you want to see by noting the papers that have most interest to you.
Now, how many papers off the top of your head have you got in the papers this year?
We've got about 100, which is it's a high number. We increased the rigor of our reviewing process this year by allowing more rebuttal from the authors, and we think that allowed us to understand the program, some papers a little bit better, and maybe accept a slightly higher percentage than usual. But it's mostly double track. There's typically no more than two paper sessions going on at the same time. So, and we tried to make them as different as possible. So usually you can see, if you're interested in a particular area of rendering or modeling or animation, you're going to be able to see all the things without all the papers without any conflicts.
So let me just sort of randomly pick a paper. We're going to stick a sort of a pin in the dartboard of, I like high dynamic range stuff. So let's assume that we've got one of the papers on high dynamic range that I'm interested in seeing. I'm going to hear about that on the Sunday night, and then obviously I could look it up and know that session is happening on Tuesday.
Yes.
How long is that paper going to be when I turn up, and you know, in what format? Is it just like a theater? And just tell me how it actually works. I said, that sounds interesting. High dynamic range, what do I do? I mean, obviously,
sure.
Well, if you
have to have the appropriate level of registration to get you access to the papers. So rather than go into the different levels, I'd point you to the website. But that's another aspect is figuring out what level do I want. Different parts of the conference are accessible to different levels. But assuming you've got the say full conference access. You can go into the paper sessions. Tuesday, 10:30 to 12:15 is the light field and high dynamic range imaging session. And in that, there are four papers, and it's typically a 20-minute presentation. And something new we're trying this year is to have a little bit more lively question-answer and discussing section. So in addition to having the presentation, which is usually in a large room that can accommodate a few hundred to a low few thousand, depending on the session, the presenters will present, and then a discussant will lead a question and answer session where we're hoping to get a little bit more interaction and give people the opportunity to ask questions. So that's something a little new this year. But there's certainly in that session four great papers from, and typically as you'll see this, there's the chair of the sessions from Microsoft Research, there's a paper from Stanford, there's a paper from the Max Planck Institute in Germany, there's a paper from the University of Southern California Institute of Creative Technologies. They're the kind of places and people that you see presenting their work.
So now I've worked out that these are things I want to go to, and presumably, no matter as far as the papers go, I'm not going to have much trouble getting from one session to another, am I? Or am I going to have to allow a lot of time?
We've tried really to put the layout very close together. So we've got all of the presentations for things like papers, sketches, and courses, which we haven't mentioned yet, are all very close together in the San Diego Convention Center. So for presentations, you won't have to move very far at all.
So I've been to my weekend thing. I've now worked out what papers I want to go to. It's Sunday night. What's next on my kind of game plan?
So I would typically, because the papers have the newest and the most vetted research, I would do exactly that, set out the papers, and then hopefully you've still got plenty of holes in your schedule for other things. Probably the next thing I would look at would be courses. So courses are half day or full day, and they're more a tutorial experience with experts coming in and giving a course, for example, on computational photography. So if that's an area that you'd been following or an area that you wanted to learn more about and get a kind of a concentrated experience, these courses are typically things often before there are textbooks in the field. In fact, it's a very common trajectory for course notes to become the first draft of a textbook. So it's an opportunity to find something that, yes, people have been out there working on it. If you'd been to previous SIGGRAPHs, you would have seen the papers, but you can kind of get a tutorial experience and get caught up or fill in gaps in your knowledge. So that's the next thing I would look at after papers is look at courses. Are there any of those that I'm interested in going? That'll fill in a few more slots on your schedule. Then maybe next up for me would be panels and special sessions. We mentioned them briefly. Particularly the special sessions are offer unique industry insights into the secrets behind recent productions. So those, if you haven't seen them elsewhere and you're interested in seeing what other studios are doing, they'll often have sessions on those, and you'll get some additional insights.
Now, it's one of the things that sort of relates to that, of course, you mentioned before the Animation Festival, rather the Electronic Theater, which is, you know, just such a landmark event. That's down on the program as being, you know, over 3 days. Is that because there's part one, part two, or part three, or is it a repeat of the same thing?
No, it's a repeat of the same thing. It's we have that. We really wanted to have that in a theater, that it's a theater experience. So the Computer Animation Festival has two components, the Electronic Theater, which is sort of the best, and then two screening rooms that has additional high-quality work. But the Electronic Theater is a must-see event for anybody who goes to SIGGRAPH, and we have evening showings and matinee showings. And it's not like nothing else. You can't see that collection of animated works spanning from art all the way to science, and it's something you definitely have to see. And it's usually often if you go to the evening shows, then it doesn't conflict with anything else. So after you've spent an entire full day going to papers and courses and special sessions, you can grab a quick bite to eat and then go for another couple hours at the Electronic Theater. Sleep is the one thing we don't really have on offer.
Now, Joe, I'm right in saying, I'm sure, that landmark pieces like Luxo Jr. and stuff were first shown at the Electronic Theater. And
yes.
It's really the sort of point at which the most significant work would like to be premiered globally.
Oh, absolutely. The competition for, I think, across all the different programs, the Animation Festival might have, certainly for the Electronic Theater, the lowest acceptance rate. It's an extremely competitive program, and careers have been launched there. To win one of the awards there for a young animator, a young filmmaker, is really quite something. First of all, you're eligible to be considered for an Academy Award.
I was going to say that. It's definitely a springboard to the Oscars as well.
It's a springboard to the Oscars, there's an opportunity to interact. One of the sketches we talked briefly about, that program, one of the sketch sessions is the award winners talking about their films. But usually, I mean, all of the work there is good, and it's a great event to go to. So that's a must. You've got to have that on your checklist, too, if you're going to have the full SIGGRAPH experience. So one of the evening shows, or maybe a matinee show if you need to get over jet lag.
I can relate to that.
I bet you
now,
can.
So some of the other stuff that's going on that is, I guess, less time dependent, I assume I'd sort of fit into my slots, is getting to the show floor to see some of the, I think, what, 250 exhibitors you've got this year?
Yes, 250 and increasing, a record number of exhibitors. So that's a good place to go to see what the latest software and hardware and educational offering. So that's always been a standby part. So usually what I do when I set up my schedule is fill in the other things. And then there's a few programs where I put into the gaps between the scheduled events. So the exhibition is definitely one. The art gallery I find very interesting, just to see what artists are doing with this new medium, really a suite of new media. And that can be a nice quiet break. And then something that's actually overlooked a lot is the Guerrilla Studio. So this is a place.
Yeah, tell me about that.
We talk to the people developing new hardware and new software, and persuade or cajole them to donate or lend that to the Guerrilla Studio. And you can go in there and try things out. For example, a motion capture rig or a 6-color printer or the latest software from Adobe. And things before you might buy them or things you've heard about, and go in and use them to make art. Go in for an hour, do a little piece, or there's actually some people who go in and almost never go to anything else. And there's no other forum where you can go in and try those things hands-on with experts there who can help you. You can go in as a beginner. You can go in as an expert. One of the things we have there this year that's a little different is an artist-in-residence program. We'll have 6 master artists, 3 of whom have never used digital media before. So this will be their very first experience with digital media, even though they've got decades of experience in more traditional media. So seeing what they make of it all is going to be fascinating.
Now while we're talking about torturing artists, there's something else on the program that I'm both horrified and interested to hear about.
Yes, this is the Forge program, kind of an iron animator program. This is we've got 2 new experiments this year. This is one of them. And actually, when this was first pitched to me, I didn't believe people would actually do this. So they're going to give out some character rigs and some sound bites and sound clips, and animators will have, I think, 36 hours working in teams of 3 to create an entertaining short with those sound clips or sound bites and the rigged characters. We won't make it easy for them. It'll be open to people to walk in to see what they're doing to distract them. We're trying to give them a real-world experience of what it's like, and you'll be able to observe them doing their thing for 36 hours, and then we'll have a session where we present the winners and give a little documentary.
I think you just sort of glossed over that 36 hours. We're talking about, like, start the clock, 36 hours later, stop. We're not talking about, you know, a bunch of 8-hour days here.
No, we're not. As I said, sleep is just something we discount. And so I would imagine after the first 24 hours or so, the odor of stale animator will be quite something to experience. So
it's a bizarre and interesting experiment. And look,
it's a
tell
bizarre,
me one...
exactly. And we didn't know what to expect. We put this out there, and we didn't know if we'd get people interested in it. But we have 16 teams from all over the world. And I think this is a real opportunity for some, particularly students, to get noticed by some of the companies and some of the big names. We've arranged for a lot of well-known people in the entertainment business to come by and to comment and kibitz with the teams. And I think for some young animators out there, this will be a real opportunity.
Well, that is one way to get noticed, and certainly the more pungent by the third day, the more likely you are to be noticed. But there is actually a slightly more civilized way to think about it in terms of a job, because SIDGRAPH has become probably the only trade show / conference I can think of that has such a prominent job fair as you have. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so that's a relatively recent happening that people have begun to use it more and more for recruiting. So recruiting happens in a number of different places. It does happen on the exhibit floor, where some companies will just have a booth to simply attract potential recruits. But then there's also the job fair, job fair is a little bit more organized. People are expecting resumes and a variety of different companies. So there's many ways that you can get hooked up with the job. And I know many people have landed either a first job or have found their latest new adventure by going to the job fair and also going to the exhibit floor.
Now, I don't want to start any rumors here because I'm very happy with my job, but let's imagine now that I wanted to do that. I really wanted to sort of explore getting a job. Because I know this would be of interest to a lot of people. It's, I guess, the best advice is take along a lot of copies of your showreel, but you don't actually have to have everything. I mean, it's nice if you can have everything prearranged before you get there, but you don't have to sort of know, you know, people at all the top studios to be able to talk to those top studios, do you?
No, by no means. The top studios this will be a major recruiting event for them. They're there to look at you as the prospective applicants, so they're going to make it easy for you. And that's why, as I mentioned, there's often multiple ways of interacting. There's the job fair, which is kind of self-explanatory. But if you walk up to their booth on the exhibit floor and hand them a resume, they'll take it there too. There may be some after-hours parties, which if your resume or reel looks kind of interesting, it's often to at the job fair maybe get an invitation to one of those. There may be some networking opportunities at the co-located events. It's really, I give advice to students or people breaking into this industry. There's no more cost-effective way in either your time or your money in terms of making connections and getting that first job or moving to the next challenge than going to SIDGRAPH.
Yeah, and I think the thing to underline there is don't be apologetic about this, because they are very keen for you to submit reels. They are very keen to talk to you. And this isn't a matter of you coming along and embarrassing yourself by sort of asking if you could speak to someone about their reel and them sort of looking at you cross-eyed, because there are recruiters and they track people globally that are very, very keen to talk to you from all the major studios. And so the worst mistake, I think, is somebody going along sort of a bit sheepishly, not bringing enough copies of their reel and or their resume, and being stunned at, you know, how they've like emptied their bag effectively in the first sort of half an hour of being in there, and then realized, God, I wish I'd brought more.
Well, I think there is a Kinko's copy place on site if you need more, but certainly your advice about not being shy is really important. I actually remember back to my very first SIDGRAPH when I went as a SIDGRAPH student. I was just completely intimidated by everything around me and thought, my goodness, how am I ever going to carve out a career in this business? And it was intimidating and an awe-inspiring and kind of a frightening way. But, you know, everybody started that way. And people are often friendly. If you let the people around you on the bus from the hotel know, or that this is your first SIDGRAPH and that you're there, people want to bring you into the community, want to bring you into the club. You'll find people very, very helpful, just strangers. It's that kind of, you know, freshman week in college experience. Everybody kind of bonds in that way. And certainly let people know what it is you're looking for and what you're trying to get. From the other side, I could tell you, but I'd have to kill you. I know how much Walt Disney Animation is going to spend on recruiting for SIDGRAPH, and we view it as a very significant event from a recruiting point of view, and we're obviously not the only studio that does that. So you're not going to be bothering people if you ask for a job. That's what they're there to do.
And if we give people a word of advice on that, probably the best advice that certainly I've heard is go knowing what it is that you're kind of interested in getting. Like, try to avoid the dilemma of turning up and saying, well, I'd just like a job in the industry anywhere.
Yes.
The more that you can say, I would like a job with Walt Disney Animation Studios in the animation effects department doing cool particle stuff, the more chance you have of landing exactly that job.
I think that's very good advice, because it just, the volume of people and the compressed time frame. I mean, recruiters are human too. They've got to look at your resume, look at your reel, and categorize you, and then try to match you up with what they know they're looking for. And as, the easier you can make that job for them, the better it is for you.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think there's no other opportunity. Like, people often say to me, oh, you need to know somebody to get into the industry, or it's very hard to get in because it's a catch-22. And I don't want to sound like this is a, you know, kickback thing, but it's almost like becoming a person that attends SIDGRAPH gets you into that club. Because once you're there and you're doing the papers, it's accepted that you have a genuine interest at a professional level, and then everybody's there to help you.
Yes, depending on exactly what your job in this area, but if you're a research wannabe and if you present a paper at SIGGRAPH, the job opportunities will come to you. If you're an animator wannabe and you have an animation in the animation festival, or you win out in the Forge competition, clearly that's the very best way, because literally I know countless careers that have started that way. I presented a paper at SIGGRAPH and I got this call from these universities, this company, and I took this offer, and that's how I started. Not everybody can get one of those, so many careers also start with, I went to the job fair, or I was talking to somebody on the exhibit floor. But it's hard to talk to somebody in this business for whom SIGGRAPH hasn't played a role in their career in some way, whether it's exciting them about it in the first place, or creating that vital connection that gets the first job, or the key job, the exciting job. So it's, if you want to get into this business, beg, borrow, or steal, however you've got to go there. I heard a great story of a colleague who was in that situation, went to SIGGRAPH and at a job fair got the job, and he was from England, didn't have the money, somehow flew into Florida and drove to New Orleans from Florida. He was going to get there by any means possible, and it launched his career. And, you know, if you can get better travel arrangements, you should take them, but you should be there if you want to be in this business.
Now, I'm sure there are a few things we've missed, but we're running out of time, other than to say that I guess the last thing on our trip is the historic trip to the SIDGRAPH store where you buy your, you know, this year's coffee mug.
And the T-shirts. My wife complained that about half of my wardrobe is SIGGRAPH shirts, and she doesn't quite understand that in the circles I move in, that's high quality clothing and snappy dressing, and if you get into this business, it probably will be too. So that's certainly something to do. Get, make sure that you get properly outfitted in the.
It's true, and anyone can go and buy the latest figurine and stick it on top of their cubicle. But to have the faded 1995 SIDGRAPH coffee mug that is only barely readable is cubicle cred.
Cubicle cred. I like that's a great phrase. That's exactly right. And there's opportunities for that, and also sometimes free stuff on the exhibit floor. That people like to get one of the little walking RenderMan teapots. That's one of the items. These things also show up on eBay afterwards if you really want to pretend you got them somehow.
Well, thank you so much for taking time to talk to us. We'll be there, we hope, and we'll certainly planning to do interviews from SIDGRAPH. But of course, I was finishing up by saying if you can just give us the URL, because it's all available online, including the advanced program.
Absolutely. That's www.siggraph.org/S2007. And you can find everything there. The program is up there, and it's not too early. Actually, on the long flight from, if you're taking a long flight from wherever, going through the advanced program, printing it out and taking it with you and doing your planning of what you want to see, it's a great way to make the hours go by quickly.
Yes, and you'll, if you're driving when you're listening to this podcast, just Google SIDGRAPH and 2007, and yep. You'll get all the details. Thank you so much again for taking time to talk to us. We really appreciate it, and hopefully we'll see you in San Diego.
Oh, you bet. I'll be there, and I hope you will be too.
Thanks so much.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Well, thanks, Joe, for that. And as I mentioned before the podcast, FX Guide will definitely be there full force with daily video netcasts from the show on August 6th, 7th, 8th, and 9th. Again, you'll be able to get links to those at the FX Guide website. And again, get great interviews. We've got some great ones lined up, as well as just news and information about some of the stuff that Joe was talking about at the show. If you haven't checked it out already, be sure to check out FX Guide TV. We just put up our third episode. For those of you who are interested, we'd love to get user-submitted tips and tricks for the FX PhD Tip of the Week. There are instructions for doing that on the FX Guide TV page. So if you'd like to do that, be sure to check that out and email us if you have any questions about that. Well, that's it for this week. For the co-founders of FX Guide, Mike Seymour and Jeff Huser, I'm John Montgomery. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening to this week's FX Podcast. Please let us know if you have any suggestions for stories or future podcasts. You can reach us by using the Contact Us links at the top of the homepage. This podcast is copyright 2007 FX Guide LLC. Broadcast or redistribution is prohibited without the expressed written consent of FX Guide LLC.